Now for our special guests, Dallas Block is going to come up and share about Rock Solid Refuge. So come on up. And he's also brought some other guests from Rock Solid. You're going to hear about their ministry. So, can I pray for you as you begin?
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Rock Solid Refuge. We thank you, Lord, for the work of Dallas, his work to lead that incredible ministry. Lord, we thank you for the lives that have been changed. We thank you for the people in our own lives that we know who have been there and have been changed, Lord. Lord, bless him as he speaks and make our hearts soft to hear about the things that they are doing. Amen.
Amen. Wow, I am absolutely blessed already to be with you here. Thank you, young man, for that incredible offertory number. I appreciate that so much, your willingness to share your gifts and talents with the great songs there. And thank you also for how the Christmas hampers were explained. That is just absolutely special for how God is calling us, his people, to reach out to whoever he puts next to us. I learned something very important in my journey with God from a Christian leader named Henry Blackaby. I don't know, are some of you familiar with Henry Blackaby? He wrote Experiencing God and so on. He said, assume that God is always at work around you and then join him. So where is God at work around you? Who's that family that he's put next to you? Who's that neighbor, that person you rub shoulders with in the checkout line at the grocery store or at the parts store or whatever? Assume that God is at work around you and then join him in that work. So thank you for blessing me already here this morning. Thank you also for the opportunity to come and share with you. I know a lot of you are probably familiar with Rock Solid Refuge. I was here just a little over a year ago, and so I'm going to review a little bit and also update you on some things that have happened at Rock Solid over the last year. Rock Solid is a residential program. For those of you who are not familiar with us, we are helping teen boys overcome life-controlling issues, and we've been doing this since 2007. We're located about 50 miles southwest of Swift Current, and our students come from all across Canada. I don't think it's a secret to any of us that there's a crisis in our nation. Our young people have never had to negotiate a more toxic cultural environment. Easy access to dangerous substances and pornography, family breakdown, absent parents, especially fathers, and the lack of restraints have wreaked a terrible damage on an entire generation. And so Rock Solid was born in 2007 out of the reality that there was no long-term Christian program for teens with life-controlling issues, addictions, and so on. And to this day, we are still the only long-term Christian program in Canada that we're aware of. There are others that are working to start some things, but the need is great and the resources are small. We do believe that there is hope. We do believe that it is never too late to interrupt and reverse a pattern of sin and destruction. In Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The Lord drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock." No matter how deep these young people have gone into sin, we do believe that God can rescue them. And so our hope is based on the person and work of Jesus Christ, and we like to say we have four pillars that our program is based on. And the first one, of course, is faith and discipleship. There's a sense in which we could be known as a rehabilitation center or a treatment center. We do prefer to be known as a discipleship program, but a lot of people out there don't understand what that means. But we do believe that the foundation of our help comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We believe that everyone needs to be mentored. I don't know about you, even adults here today, if you have mentors in your lives, people that you can come alongside of and people that will come alongside of you, but we all need mentors and our young people need mentors. And I hope that we take opportunities to rub shoulders with those that need mentors, and each student at Rock Solid is assigned a mentor that meets with them weekly and just walks through some of the challenges and struggles of life there. We also very much believe in education. We believe that God has given us minds, minds that are to be developed. And we've found that most of our students come underachieving for their abilities. And we watch young people go from failing grades, sometimes 15, 20%, to grades of 70, 80, and even 90s. And we're so excited about that. We are a fully accredited independent school functioning under the Ministry of Education of Saskatchewan. And we do believe in life skills. We like to use the term employability skills, which is more than just the ability to hold a tape measure or cut a 2x4, but it's actually the ability, the character qualities that are necessary for employment. Here's a picture of our staff and student group this fall. And even two or three students are missing from that picture at that moment as well. But we're so excited for who God has brought to us, both as staff and as students. Just as a point of highlighting some of the things that have happened over the last year since I was here. This is a picture of one of our graduations. We actually had four students that graduated at one point in June. So we've had students graduate in May, June, October. We had a couple of students graduate as well. Another highlight of our year is a canoe trip that we take the students on every year. Just an amazing time up at Tobin Lake. We had a dry summer this last summer here. They didn't, so they had mosquitoes like crazy. One of our staff that came with us, he posted on Facebook while we were up there. He's like, I've never imagined mosquitoes and measuring them in density before. And it was incredible. But we had a great time building relationships and also going through Romans 1 to 8 in our sessions in the evenings. We also had the opportunity to be a part of the Gospel Music Jamboree in Shaunavon. Some of you at the Gospel Music Jamboree this past summer. It's an amazing time there, and we got to be a part of setting it up and so on, but also presenting on Sunday morning with some of our students even sharing their testimonies. A real highlight for us always is our family camp. Every August, we pull aside for a few days, and we get our families together in the context of Camp Elam, actually. And it's just an amazing time together and building into their lives. Dr. Charles Redwine was our speaker the last couple of summers, actually, and he's always brings a message of hope and encouragement to our families, as he has been a part of residential programs like ours for about 30 years. We're also very thankful for those who raise funds for us, and some of you maybe even have been a part of or know people that are a part of the Harvest for Hope project, previously called Land for Land, that's south of Swift Current here, about 6 miles. And we're just so thankful for people who do those kinds of things. We had another project like it that started up this year, and it's one of our major fundraisers. And if any of you are interested in finding out information or getting involved in that, come and talk to me afterwards. Another way that people get involved with us is by not only donating money or resources or materials, but also helping us to set some stuff up. This is a brand new outdoor rink and sports pad that we just got put up, and we're still putting a little bit of the stuff around it as a bit of a chain link fence to keep the pucks and balls in. But it's just been an incredible blessing already to give the guys real healthy energy outlets and time together out on the rink. Some of you maybe were out for open house. Were any of you out at our open house in middle of October? If you were, thank you so much. We appreciated you coming out. If you weren't and you ever want to come and visit us, we would love to have you visit. Jump in a vehicle with some extra people. We just love to show people around and show people what God is doing out there at Rock Solid. At this time, I'm going to ask a couple of our students to come up and share their testimonies. And so Tyson's going to come first and then Micah.
Hi, my name's Tyson. I'm 16 years old, and I'm a student intern at Rock Solid Refuge. I grew up in what you might call a dysfunctional home. As a result, I began to do things that got me in trouble with my parents. Because it seemed our home was spiritually divided, I started to question if God is real. That started me on a slow downward drift. I started to hang out with the wrong group of kids in junior high. I started stealing from local stores and from my family. My parents knew some of what I was doing, but I would lie my way out of their accusations. These lies led to other lies. At age 11, I was introduced to pornography. Some kids at school were looking at it, and my curiosity led me to it. And it has been an addiction ever since. I had become a defiant teen. Our home life was falling apart because of me, and my parents knew I needed help. I started to get into arguments with my parents, mostly my dad. By the time I was 13, I was depressed and contemplated suicide. In 2015, my parents learned about Rock Solid. And at the end of September, they sent me there. I thought they were sending me there because they hated me and that they were pushing me out of their house for good. I know now that my parents love me, but I did not think so at the time. When they dropped me off, my dad left a letter for me. And he let me know that he does love me and that he was following Christ and he was praying for God to show him what to do. While I was at Rock Solid, I learned a lot about God and how to trust people again and how to be honest. I graduated in October of 2016 and went home to start again with my family. Because of choices I had made before going to Rock Solid, I could not live with my family, so I stayed with my grandparents who lived nearby. I soon went back to the same kids I hung out before. I phoned my mentor back home at Rock Solid and asked what to do. He gave me some advice and I started to follow it, and it helped. Last April, I went on a missions trip to Belize with my home church, and that experience changed my life. Got to eat some amazing food, learn some new stuff, which I loved. We did VBS, seeing those kids, giving me a whole new outlook on life. It helped so much with my walk with God. I hope to go back again in 2 years. Around the beginning of August, I felt on my heart to visit Rock Solid for a visit. Because there were still some issues I needed to work on, I asked if I could be an intern, and they accepted me. I am thankful that God is teaching me and showing me what to do every day. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Micah and I am 16 years old. I don't really know much about my biological father because he was out of my life before I was born. My mom, on the other hand, was a Christian and took me and my siblings to church where we were growing up. When I was about 6 years old, I remember going to my mom and telling her I was afraid of dying. She said if I didn't want to be afraid of dying, I could ask Jesus into my life, so I did. Growing up, my family moved a lot. This produced a few difficulties for me. Making friends and keeping them was one. Moving into school year made education a frustration point. I was told by teachers I couldn't spell or write. I believed them and gave up on myself. In fact, I gave up on myself in many different ways. This led to anger and sadness, which either led to emotional shutdowns and isolation or acting out in many different ways. I would often harm myself, other people, or physical properties. Eventually, it got so bad that my mom started looking online for programs that could help. That's when she found Rock Solid Refuge. When my mom first proposed going to Rock Solid, I was in a place where I knew things needed to change, and I thought it couldn't hurt. At the beginning, Rock Solid was challenging for me. I tried to see if staff would kick me out, but they didn't. As proof, here I am. Instead, they helped me believe I had value. In school, they started working with me on spelling and writing. I learned how to ask for help and found people who were willing to give it. The staff and even students helped me learn to control my emotions and think clearly in frustration situations. When I look back on who I was when I first went to Rock Solid, I don't even recognize myself. I know I can face all challenges in front of me with help. Philippians 4:13 says I can do all things through him who gives me strength. On that note, my favorite Bible verse is Psalms 23:4, which says, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Thank you for letting me share my testimony.
I always appreciate it when our students are willing to share. I'm not sure I would have had the courage at that age. And it's true what Micah said. We don't even recognize him compared to a year and a bit ago when he came to us for the first time. It's just truly amazing to see what God does. In your bulletins, there was a brochure put in there that says Partner for Change. If you want to just take that out for a minute and just take a look through that while I read this from one of the mums who wrote this for me to read at times like this. She says, "Good morning. 2.5 years ago, Jordan made a decision that would put our entire family in an incredibly painful journey. We didn't know where to get the help we so desperately needed. In our desperation, we called social services, begging them to place him in foster care. But the only resource they offered us was to drop him off at the homeless youth shelter in downtown Calgary. Knowing that was not an option, we prayed God would provide a positive solution as we were at the end of our parenting resources. That's when we heard about Rock Solid Refuge. Rock Solid was the best place we could imagine sending Jordan. Unfortunately, we weren't able to pay the full tuition required for him to go. We were so thankful to know that God would provide the rest of funds through generous donations from churches and supporters. Since going to Rock Solid, Jordan has taken full responsibility for his damaging choices, he's been mentored and challenged by the directors and other staff of Rock Solid. Without the work of Rock Solid that Rock Solid provides, it's unimaginable where Jordan may have ended up. Rock Solid has been supportive and encouraging of our family as we work to rebuild trust and a relationship with Jordan. I know our story isn't unique, and there are hurting boys and hurting families that need the ministry that Rock Solid Refuge provides. With financial support, Rock Solid Refuge can continue their tremendous vital ministry so boys in trouble won't end up on the streets, but in a loving, safe environment where they can learn how much God loves them and change their lives for the better." Being here this morning has a little bit of a sting to me because a young man that was in a community that I pastored for 10 years, which is Frontier down south, a young man who just graduated from high school in June, 18 years old, just died of an overdose in Calgary. He grew up in Frontier his whole life. My kids used to play with him. And when you go to a funeral like that and you recognize that that's a life cut short that was not intervened in the way that we would hope, you understand the great need that there is to come alongside those who cannot come out of these realities on their own. Galatians 6 verse 2 says that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so that's why I'm here this morning, is to ask if there's a way that God is calling you to bear these burdens along with us. And again, I thank you for the opportunity to share with you in this way and to explore that with you. So that brochure that you have in your hands is one of the ways. You can sponsor a student for $39 a month and have contact with them, hear, get updates from them, and be invited to their graduation and so on. You get a bio sent to you that looks something like this, and have some information about them and just see how God can use you. There are other ways to partner with us, as I already said earlier. We're actually looking for staff members right now. So we're looking to hire youth care workers. We've had some staff that have or are transitioning out. And so if you know anybody that would have a passion to work with the young people at Rock Solid, please let them know. Get us connected with them. We'd love to have them come out. We always have projects that people can come on site and help us with. Our maintenance man, Carl, has joined us here this morning as well. And I'm sure he would love to have any of your assistance on a few things that are going on and that could be done. So, and then I know there's a special offering going to be taken up here in a few minutes. And we appreciate that so much. And maybe the key need for us, one of our key needs that it would go to, and we've asked other churches to really consider this as a year-end way of helping us, is for us to be able to purchase this two-bedroom cabin. This is actually located at a brand-new Hutterite colony that's about 2.5 miles to the north of us, and they're willing to sell it to us for $10,000. You wouldn't even be able to buy the materials for that. And they're even willing to move it out. And we've got somebody from Herbert that's willing to bring his equipment and set the area ready for it, trench in power and water and that kind of stuff. So we've got lots of things in place. What we don't have is $10,000 to buy it. And so the offering taken after our presentation will go towards that, and we would appreciate you considering that as a project to give towards, and we thank you for considering that. Like I said before, we do appreciate when people come and visit, and we love to share what we're doing right on site. As I end our presentation this morning, and before I turn it back over to Pastor Nick for his message, I want to just share from one passage of Scripture what we believe is absolutely vital in the lives, really in all of our lives, but in the lives of our young people that come to Rock Solid Refuge. If you have your Bibles, you can turn them on and scroll with me, or if they're paper, you can turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44, it's a one-verse parable. I love this parable. This parable should shape every day of our lives. All of Scripture should do that. But this parable is really in the context of what has already been shared this morning, and I know what Pastor Nick is going to bring as well, in the context of the Advent candle of joy and some of the songs that were sung. So listen to this one-verse parable, Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The person of Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago to be our greatest treasure. God himself declared himself to be that right from creation. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, God brings an indictment against the people of Israel. And he says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have hewed out, they have made for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. All of this is tied together in that context that God himself is meant to be our treasure. The place where we find the only joy that really ultimately matters. That if we had nothing else, there is still absolute joy. And that even though in this life, there's a sense in which there will always be some level of discontent in this life, right? So just think for a second here. What was the world like when Adam and Eve were first created? Was there anything wrong with it? No. Nothing wrong with the world when Adam and Eve were first created. Imagine the peace and the absolute perfection of joy that they experienced when they were first created. They walked with God in the garden. They enjoyed everything of the creation. And obviously the highlight of their existence was walking with God in the garden. This perfect intimate relationship that had nothing that marred it. We were all created for that context. And for those of us who by faith in Jesus Christ have believed and received the free gift of salvation, where our sins are washed away and we become one of his children, there is coming a day when we will experience that. And it will be perfect. It will be everything we've ever longed for in ways that we never expected in many senses. Because still on this earth we're somewhat twisted by sin, because we're not made perfect yet. But what God is calling us to here, what God is calling the young people at Rock Solid to, is to look at the things that they value, look at the treasures of their life, and ask, are they worth it? And from this parable, we would understand that it is worth it to turn away from anything and everything in this world except for Christ, and that we would find our perfect treasure in him, and that it is more valuable to have Christ. than anything in this planet. So we ask you to pray for us as we bring the treasure of Christ to the young people at Rock Solid Refuge. And again, we thank you for the opportunity to share with you this morning.
At this time, we're going to call our ushers forward one more time to collect a special offering for Rock Solid. And if you did not bring money, if you're not prepared to give today, take some of their information and send them a donation this Christmas. Let's help them buy that house. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good work that you are doing in the hearts and the lives of the students at Rock Solid. Lord, thank you for the staff members who have incredible love to love those who are hard to love. Lord, may their ministry grow. May the stories of changed lives touch the hearts of many, many people. And Lord, may many families come to know who you are. May many souls be saved. May there be a whole section in heaven, a neighborhood in heaven full of mansions of people who believed in you and were rescued by you through the work of Rock Solid Refuge. Lord, bless this gift to them, and may they use it to glorify you and grow your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Dallas, for sharing with us. Thank you, Micah and Tyson. Micah Tyson. You got up and you delivered a 1-2 knockout punch. That was great to hear about God changing lives. Joy. Joy. We lit a candle for joy. We're singing about joy. Dallas talked about joy. I mean, if there's any word that kind of describes Christmas, it might be that one little word, joy. Right? We sing about it, joy to the world. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Joyful, all you nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. Joy, 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 joy. And I just have this sense, this feeling that some of you here this morning, everything has gone straight over your heads. Joy? Come on. I wonder how many of us feel joy this morning. Does coming to church help? Maybe. Does singing good worship songs help? Maybe. Does hearing about changed lives help? Maybe. Briefly, perhaps. But maybe you're here this morning and you feel like your joy is slipping. Or maybe it's even gone. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. So far down in my heart, I don't even know where it is anymore. Maybe you're feeling that way. Maybe you're here because you have to be. Maybe your mom and dad dragged you here this morning, or your wife did, or somebody, right? Or you're close to giving up on life, close to giving in. Maybe joy is not your present experience. And I want to stand up here and I want to tell you, I've had a pretty rough week too. I'm an up and down person. Well, that's kind of my character. And this week for me was mostly down. I couldn't seem to tear away that fog of depression that settled over my soul. Like Winston Churchill described it, the black dog was stalking me this week. My poor wife has no idea what to do with me when I get this way. And you know what, really? Sometimes there's nothing that she can do. I have to wade through the sludge myself. I have to rediscover joy. And so I want to tell you a little story this morning. It's the story about a young girl named Ruth, found in your Bibles, of all places, in the book of... Awesome, you guys are with me. That's great. Ruth is one of these women that Matthew scandalously includes in his genealogy of Jesus. She's one of Jesus's great, 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 grandmothers, but her life is not great. Her life stinks. Ruth isn't an Israelite. She's actually a Moabite, and her life has some pretty big setbacks to it. In fact, her difficulties make my problems look kind of manageable. So let me tell you a little bit of her story, and we'll see if there's a few things God has to teach us this morning about joy. I'm going to tell you the story about his beloved daughter, Ruth. Joy for Ruth. Starting with verse 1, I'm going to use the message, if that's okay with some of you. Some of you might want to visit me later about using that book. But hey, once upon a time, it was back in the days when judges led Israel, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah left home and went to live in the country of Moab. This guy's name was Elimelech, and he brought his wife with him, Naomi, and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they're just moving away from where they're supposed to be. And he dies there. And then 10 years later, both of his sons die there. Remember I told you this is a story about joy? We're off to a great start, aren't we? All right, three dead people. That's a great way to start a joyful story. Anyways, these three men leave behind three widows, Naomi and her two Moabite daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And then Ruth 1:6 says, one day Naomi got herself together, and she and her two daughters-in-law set out to leave the country of Moab and go home. Moab isn't really her home, right? Israel is. So Naomi's going home to Israel. And she tries to get Orpah and Ruth to stay in Moab, to stay where they are. She doesn't want them to come with her. She's kind of depressed. She doesn't want company. And Naomi expresses her lack of joy in life in verse 13. She says this, "This is a bitter pill for me to swallow, more bitter for me than for you. God has dealt me a hard blow." That's in our scripture. That's kind of the part that I underline and memorize. God's dealt me a hard blow. Naomi's struggling here. Her husband and her sons are gone. And for a woman in the ancient Near East, that means her life is over. Her world has been shattered. Later on, she says this, "The strong one, God, has dealt me a bitter blow. I left Israel full, and God has brought me back empty. The strong one has ruined me." So that's Naomi. She's not in a very good place. Now, the funny thing is, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, is in the exact same place, the exact same set of circumstances, and she has a slightly different approach. First of all, Ruth remains committed to her relationships. When Naomi tries to send Ruth away, Ruth remains doggedly committed to Naomi. Naomi wants to be alone in her depression. Ruth knows that she needs to be with people. Ruth's words to her mother-in-law in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 are so powerful, so great that Chris Tomlin actually stole it and put it into a song. They're so great that when many couples get married, they take these words that a woman says to her mother-in-law, don't miss that, and they turn them into their wedding vows. "Wherever you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, your God will be my God." Ruth is committed to her relationships, even in difficult circumstances. Secondly, Ruth gets active. She takes the initiative. Ruth 2:2 says, one day, Ruth, the Moabite foreigner, says to Naomi, "I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go out and glean in the fields where the harvesters have gone. Following after them, they might treat me kindly." I found that whenever I get discouraged, whenever I kind of get into that period of despair, when the black dog stalks me, I can choose to either go sit in a chair in the corner in the dark all by myself, right? Getting more depressed, or I can get up and do something, just anything. Go for a walk, get some fresh air, get some exercise, get active. For you guys, maybe go out onto that hockey rink and just slam some pucks around. Just get active. Ruth gets active. And because she gets active, it just so happens that she catches the eye of this older gentleman, Boaz. Boaz approaches her and he says to her, "From now on, don't go to any other field. to glean. Stay right here in this one. Don't worry about a thing. I've given orders to my servants not to harass you. When you get thirsty, go and drink from the water buckets that my servants have filled. Ruth 2, 8 and 9. And when Ruth expresses wonder at this unexpected kindness, Boaz points out to us the third thing that Ruth has also done in the midst of her lack of joy, in the midst of her difficult situation. She's practiced kindness towards other people. I've discovered in my own life that the best thing that I can do when I'm struggling with depression is to go out and do something nice for somebody else. There is something about practicing kindness that chases away my despair. So those are a couple of the tips that I am learning, too slowly in my wife's opinion, but I'm learning in my struggles with depression and my own loss of joy. Get connected with your relationships. Go sit on the floor with a grandchild or a foster baby. Go visit your great aunt with a nutty sense of humor. Go out for coffee with a good Christian friend. Stay connected to your family. Two, get active. Find something to do. It'll get those endorphins going. It's partly chemical, right? Three, work up a sweat. Or three, practice kindness. Find something nice to do for someone else. Now, those are things that you can do. But the reality is that there's something else I want to share with you, something a little bit deeper. There's something really important that you need to know. When you're in a place that joy seems far away, there's a deep truth about reality that you need to hang on to when despair threatens to overwhelm you. I mentioned it a few Sundays ago. It's the fact that God has not forgotten you. At the end of a hard day working out in the fields, Ruth goes home to Naomi. Naomi is still stuck in her pit of despair. Pit of despair. Naomi expresses surprise at Ruth's good fortune. And when she learns about Boaz's kindness to Ruth, Naomi begins to grasp a glimmer of hope herself. God bless that man, she says. I love this verse. God hasn't quite walked out on us after all. Huh. Fancy that. He still loves us in bad times as well as good. I was thinking to myself this week, man, how different would my life be if I actually believed that? Stories told of a man who survives a shipwreck. He washes up on the shores of this uncharted desert island and there's no one around. He's the only survivor and he starts praying out to God to rescue him. Day after day he prays to God to come, send some help, rescue him. And day after day the horizon remains empty. It seems like God has forgotten him. Eventually, he decides to settle in to surviving on this island, and so he manages to build a small hut. A place where he can sleep, where he can store his meager possessions, a place where he can have some respite from the hot sun beating down on him. And then one day, he's out hunting for some food and he's coming back to his camp and he sees smoke in the sky and he goes running back to his camp and his hut is completely engulfed in flames. Everything that he owns is gone. First the shipwreck, and now this. And he just falls to his knees in the sand and shakes his fist at the heavens and says, God, where are you? And the heavens are silent. He spends a night tossing and turning in the sand, unsheltered, exposed to the elements. Early the next morning, there's a ship on the horizon, drawing near to the island, a rescue party. He stumbles down to the shore as they pull up in the landing boat, and he exclaims, how did you guys ever find me? And the captain says to him, we saw the signal fire that you lit for us yesterday. It's pretty easy to succumb to the lie of insignificance. You read these stories about these great men and women of faith, and you think to yourself, I could never be one of them. I could never do the things that these guys do. I'm too small. I'm too broken. I'm too sinful. I'm too insignificant. And maybe you identify with Naomi's feelings that God, the strong one, has dealt you a bitter blow. And then you read about David, the great warrior, killing 10,000 men and being a man after God's own heart. You learn about the faith of Abraham, who abandons his whole possessions to follow God all the way down to the promised land. You hear about Samuel, the kingmaker, the great prophet, confronting the evil King Saul. You hear the story of Elijah, the prophet on Mount Carmel, defeating thousands of false prophets and calling fire down from heaven. Woo! Scripture is this vast tapestry of God's saving acts, and sometimes it can seem really intimidating to you and I in our smallness and our ordinariness. Surely there's no way that someone as broken, ordinary, and random as I am, surely there's no way that I can have any significant part on such a grand stage. And then God reminds you, dude, remember David? Man after my own heart? He killed someone. He stumbled into adultery. Pastor Darren gets to preach about that next Sunday. Abraham, man of faith, he gave his wife away to the Egyptian Pharaoh. Samuel struggled with judging based on appearances. Elijah got depressed, suicidal even. He went and hid in a cave. Elijah. God has always used imperfect men and women to accomplish his perfect plan. He only ever had one perfect child. All the rest were just like you and me. Imperfect, but loved. Cracked and shattered, yet being made whole. Limited by our humanness, yet limitless with God's Spirit inside of us. Lost in despair, being saved in hope. Struggling, yet triumphing. Outwardly dying, inwardly being raised to glory. You are bigger than you know, because your God is bigger than you know. You're not a failure. Because God has picked you to be on his winning team. You are not insignificant because God has called you his child. You are not unloved because God sent his only perfect son to be your savior. You see, ordinary, broken, dispirited, fallen, struggling people are not simply a part of God's story. They're the point of the God story. You are the point of God's story. He's the subject. He's the main character. But you are the point. You are the object of his love. The point of his amazing salvation story. He chose you. He picked you. He loves you. He redeems you. He forgives you. He releases you. He restores you. He pardons you. He remakes you. He rebuilds you. He cures you. He rehabilitates you. He reconciles you. He repairs you. He loves you. He loves you. Can I get an amen? And so, in an ordinary, out-of-the-way little village in Judah, a kind older gentleman, Boaz, notices a hard-working young widow, Ruth, two ordinary people, who through a series of circumstances, way too random to just chalk up to chance, become the point of God's amazing salvation story. Boaz marries Ruth. She becomes his wife. Boaz sleeps with her by God's gracious gift. She conceives and has a son, Ruth 4:13. By God's gracious gift, they become the point of God's amazing salvation story. Years later, in an ordinary, out-of-the-way little village in Judah, a righteous young carpenter, Joseph, and his unwed yet pregnant fiancée, Mary, give birth to a baby boy. Two ordinary people who through a series of circumstances way too random to call anything but the sovereignty of God, become the point of God's amazing salvation story. Many years later, in an out-of-the-way little village in Saskatchewan, Speedy Creek, God is still looking for ordinary men and women who will allow themselves and their series of circumstances that are also nowhere near as random as they fear they might be. God is inviting us to become the point of his amazing salvation story. Pastor John Piper puts it this way. The book of Ruth wants to teach us that God's purpose for the life of his people is to connect us to something that is far greater than ourselves. God wants us to know that when we follow him, our lives always mean more than we think they do. For the Christian, there is always this connection between the ordinary events of our lives and the stupendous works of God in history. Everything that we do in obedience to God, no matter how small we think it is significant to God. It is a part of this cosmic mosaic that God is painting to display the greatness of his power and wisdom to the world and to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, Ephesians 3:10. The deepest satisfaction of the Christian life is to know that it is not given over to trifles. Whether you're serving a widowed mother-in-law, or gleaning wheat in a corner of a field, or falling in love, or having a baby, for the Christian, all of these things connect us to eternity. So, what does all that have to do with joy? Well, Wednesday was an awful day for me, no joy. Terrible day Wednesday was. Bleak and weary, overwhelmed. It was actually one of my worst bouts of discouragement since we've moved to Swift Current. After a rough day on an emotional roller coaster, I fell into a fitful sleep, just really not at ease with my world or the place, my place in God's world. I've learned over the last few years that for some reason God likes to wake me up in the middle of the night to talk to me. Usually because that's the only time I listen. I don't know. And he did that on Wednesday night. I woke up, I rolled over in bed, and I picked up a pen and a paper that I almost always keep by the night table, and I wrote down these words. You pursue happiness, but you surrender to joy. I had written those words down probably about 4 weeks ago when I first did the Advent readings for this Sunday. They didn't resonate with me until God spoke them to my heart in the middle of the night on Wednesday. You pursue happiness, but you surrender to joy. And I think God wants to say that to some of you here this morning. You pursue happiness, but you need to surrender to joy. You just need to let go, cease striving, and relax into the truth that God loves you. Don't try figuring it out. I'm 49. I've been trying to figure it out for at least 44 years. I still don't get it. I know it's true. I just don't understand it. Be still and know that he is God. And when you do that, then he brings joy. Joy comes when you surrender yourself to the truth that God loves you. That's joy. Good news of great joy. You don't have to pursue it. You have to surrender to it. The joy of Christmas is found in the baby Jesus. Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus is the only wellspring of joy on planet Earth. He's the only source. He is the only one who can provide lasting joy in our lives. Joy for you and me, then, is the choice that we make, and it centers on our willingness to choose to surrender ourselves to Jesus or not. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my sickness. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Our burdens for his joy. Our sorrow for his joy. Our troubles for his joy. Our depression for his joy. Our lives for his joy. So I want to close our time in God's Word with the angelic news announced that night so long ago, yet so relevant to you and I today. Luke chapter 2. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has been born in David's town. A Savior who is our Messiah and our Master." Luke 2, 11 and 12. Good news of great joy. Merry Christmas.
Would you rise for the benediction as we close our service? This reading comes from the end of the book of Jude. "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." God bless you. You're dismissed.